Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a former child bride tells the truth about girls forced into marriage, and a high school student uses her martial arts skills to teach self-defense to women and girls in India and the United States. But first, women need to earn as much as men for doing the same job. That was the clear message from the head of UN Women, the UN's gender agency, speaking alongside the Canadian Prime Minister at UN headquarters this week. They were taking part in a high-level event on gender equality and the global call to action on equal pay. Women in most countries earn on average only 60 to 75% of men's wages, the UN says. Jocelyn Sambira has the story.
65 years after an International Labour Organization convention on equal pay for men and women, the gender pay gap remains entrenched across all regions and most sectors. In Canada, women who work full-time all year round earn only 77% of what men earn for the same work, according to media reports. When Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, was elected, he promised to push for pay equity to become a fundamental human right. Speaking at an interview-style discussion at the UN on equal pay, he drew big applause when he described himself as a feminist.
Until it is met with a shrug. Why does every time I say I'm a feminist, the Twitterverse explodes and news media pick it up? It shouldn't be something that creates a reaction. It simply is saying I believe in the equality of men and women, and I believe that we still have an awful lot of work to do to get there.
Meanwhile, Pumzile Mlambo Nyuka, the UN Women Executive Director, says access to affordable child care across the world is important to bridging this often overlooked gap.
I think the other thing that is also important is to understand that this discrimination that women experience in the workplace, which pays them less, starts with the fact that the way our society is structured makes the possibility of women just to work more impossible. If you think, for instance, of childcare to begin with, because that thing called a baby happens everywhere in the world. We all know that little thing that we like called a baby. Someone has to look after it at home.
Closing the gender pay gap will reduce inequality in order to promote social justice and extend state support to working parents, UN Women believes. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
A former child bride from Yemen is bringing the plight of these young girls to the big screen. Khadija Al-Salami is the director of I Am Nujum, age 10 and divorced. Isabelle Dupuis caught up with the filmmaker ahead of a screening at UN headquarters during the latest session of the Commission on the Status of Women. Ms. Al-Salami explains why this was a story that she had to tell.
Well, I chose to make this film for several reasons. One, and is to educate people and bring awareness in order to make change. And this story has a special place in my heart. And when I heard about Nujood Ali's story, I was devastated just because she reminded me of myself when I was her age. I was forced into marriage. And then when it came that I heard that there is a French filmmaker wants to make this film as a fiction, I said, no way, I have to make it, because it's my own story, and it's the stories of all these young girls, and we have to tell the truth from inside.
You mentioned that Nojun's story is also your own. You were also married at a very young age. How did you manage to get out of this situation?
Well, at the beginning, I told my family I didn't want to get married. Personally, I didn't know what marriage was all about. But they insist that marriage is good for me, it's for my own protection and my own safety, because the honor for the family is a big deal, and they have to protect the honor of their girls. So when I found out about what the marriage was all about, I was so devastated, traumatized, and I used to lock myself in the bathroom and knock my head on the wall until I faint. And then finally, the man they married me to, he was fed up with me, and his friends advised him to send me back to my family. So my uncle wanted me to go back, and I refused, and he threatened me if I didn't go, he will disown me. So I tried to commit suicide. So the family said, okay, if you don't go back, we'll disown you. I said, that's fine. So what happened that my mom sold all her belongings and paid the man his money, the dowry that they had to pay. And then I got divorced and I went back to school right after. But it was not that easy. It was a really a big fight. And it took at least maybe 15 years that my family realized that I did the right thing. Now every members of the family, they will encourage their daughters, be like your aunt.
And if a child bride could hear you now, what message would you tell her?
Well, I'll tell them now it's much easier than my time. You have a lot of NGOs that you can go and seek for help. Just don't be afraid. Be courageous enough and you will have the life that you want to live.
Girls and women who take self-defense classes are more empowered and better prepared to protect themselves. So says Pooja Nagpal, an 18-year-old student from the United States who founded a nonprofit organization which aims to stop gender violence. She spoke at a special session on bringing girls to the table during the Commission on the Status of Women underway at UN headquarters in New York. The session focused on goal number 5 of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, which strives for gender equality. Janie Cangelosi asked Ms. Nagpal about her work.
So I started the nonprofit organization For a Change Defend, where I teach self-defense and empowerment to girls and women in various areas of Los Angeles and in villages of India. I've been doing Taekwondo for about 12 years, and I've been involved with various other martial arts. And using these street fighting and sort of skill-based techniques, I wanted to teach self-defense to those who didn't have anyone to protect them but themselves.
Was there a particular incident that got you motivated to go and start doing this?
Yes. In 2012, the Nirbhaya gang rape case occurred, where a young girl in Delhi was gang raped and murdered on a city bus by 6 men. And this was particularly enlightening for me and struck me. Not only the fact that it was horrifying, but also I felt like many of the prosecutors and legislation wasn't geared towards helping women and girls. And I mean, I think even today, some of the perpetrators may be free. So I wanted to use techniques to actually help the girls defend themselves rather than relying on society and the system to protect them.
And how have local governments in India responded to you?
In villages, actually, I've been getting a lot of support. I was recently certified to teach in over 451 schools by the District of Education in Chandigarh, which is a major city in India, which is, you know, amazing for the program because I not only will train trainers to continue throughout the years, but it will be a government-certified curriculum to be implemented in schools.
Goal number 5 in the SDGs is to do with gender. How do you feel about that? They're specifically targeting girls and gender equality.
Gender inequality has been an issue for as long as we can remember. I think particularly in this day and age, it's becoming more forefront of an issue due to media and the fact that there's a lot of violence against women cases that are coming from campus sexual assaults in the United States to domestic violence cases in the U.S. and around the world, to sex trafficking and rape use as used as weapons of war in areas of conflict and in India and other developing countries where violence is sort of just pushed under the rug. So it's so important that this issue is taken as a forefront of conversation rather than just pushed under the rug.
And how do you feel it's different, you coming in, championing this as a girl versus a man or a boy coming in and trying to do the same thing?
In many of the schools that I'd gone to, they had programs where there was self-defense. However, no one really took them seriously because it was men and boys who taught them. And obviously, this would make girls uncomfortable because there's a lot of physical movement involved. It also creates a sort of level of insensitivity because you don't actually understand the pressure points or the weaknesses of the physical body in escaping these chokeholds or situations of danger. So when a girl about their size and their age and looks sort of like them, when she teaches, it actually gives sort of a mirror empowerment effect where they see themselves in that girl and see that that could be me. I could be facing a situation of danger and I could escape and I cannot be fearful of my surroundings.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Deanne Penn.